Yeah. Thank you, Emily. Boy, Pastor Damesworth wrote that out just beautifully, didn't he? Man, oh man. Just all kinds of nice. It is a joy to be with you all this morning on this beautiful day in Kingsport, Tennessee. Everybody smile. It's good to have you in this particular class, Kingdom Purpose. So today I'm going to do more or less the introductory lesson, really, out of all the lessons you have coming over the next several weeks in this class. I will be speaking today on biblical examples of individuals walking in their God-given purpose. That's a long title, isn't it? Biblical examples of individuals walking in their God-given purpose. All right, we're going to begin with Scripture. 1 Corinthians, and if you would allow me the liberty, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20, and then also verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20 and verse 27 says, "But now, as things really are, God has placed and arranged the parts in the body, each one of them, just as he willed and saw fit, with the best balance of function. If they were all a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? But now, as things really are, there are many parts, different limbs and organs, but a single body." And then verse 27 says, "Now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function." So we know that Paul in his writing here, the first two verses, three I should say, 18, 19, and 20, he's making a reference to our physical body, right? We all have many parts, but we're one body. And then he transitions over to the spiritual, and he reminds us that just as we have one body of Christ, many members, many parts, still we're one body, and we operate and function together in unity, right? But it takes the whole body to be everything that God wants us to be complete, to be whole, to be, the army says, be all that you can be, right? Or something like that. I don't know. Does it still use that slogan? Maybe that's going back a ways. That's why it's fuzzy in my mind. But God wants the church to be all that he has designed for it to be. And he has a specific design for the church. And he has a specific place for each and every one of us. And it's so good today in this class, and I'm sure every other class, to see from young people to elders. Because again, just because we reach a certain age doesn't mean we get to clock out, right? We still have a place in the body of Christ. We still have a function. And the same for us as young people, young adults. We have a place. We have a function. And so he, again, in 18 through 20, reminds us, he puts, I like how the Amplify said that, with the best balance of function. He puts everything just right so that if everything is working correctly and everything is in its place, it's going to function optimally at the best that it can. And so that is his idea. That's his design for the body of Christ. So keep in mind, verse 18, the phrase, "just as he willed and saw fit with the best balance of function." And then verse 27, the phrase, "each with his own special purpose and function." Call it whatever you like. You can call it a mission. You can call it a task. You can call it a responsibility. You can call it a calling. You can call it a placement. You describe it however you like. Call it whatever you like. But again, we all have a place. We all have a ministry in the body of Christ. Now, I realize that sometimes, you know, living in this old natural world, we look at people and we, if we're being honest, we look at people sometimes, we say, man, do they even have a reason for being on this earth, right? What is their function? Good Lord, what is that guy's purpose for being here? But we don't have to worry about that when it comes to the body of Christ. We all have a function. We just have to be able to find that God-given purpose. Again, as long as you are living on this earth, you have a spot. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not overqualified. You're not underqualified. You have a spot in the body of Christ. And here's the interesting thing. You know, hell is always working against us, isn't it? Yeah. Now, we got forces all the time that are working against us. Our flesh works against us. The world works against us. Hell works against us. And sometimes, although they never quit working against us, maybe they come to a point where they realize that, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to get this guy or this gal out of the church. Boy, they've been in this thing for a long time. They seem to have really made up their mind. So if I can't get them away from the church, away from the body of Christ or out of the body of Christ, maybe the next best thing I can do is to get them to become a non-functioning part of the body. Maybe I can get them to just be part of the body that just takes up space, but it's not producing anything. It's not doing anything. It's really not functioning. It's just there. But again, that's not God's design for you. I remind you of verse 18 and verse 27. With the best balance of function, as he willed, as he saw fit, each with their own special purpose and function. We love Sundays, right? Sundays are the highlight for an apostolic, man. We get to get up in the morning and get to come to church. And even for morning, and people who aren't morning people, you eventually get awake. You eventually get to church. You eventually get enough coffee in you. You eventually come into the presence of God, not just physically, but spiritually. You realize, whoa, this is it, man. You get that charge on Sunday. You're ready to go out there and defeat the world, and you're just loving it. Sundays are wonderful. We love the worship. We love the fellowship. We love the encouragement. We love all of this stuff that we find on Sundays and in the presence of God and in the body of Christ. But just because we show up on Sunday and enjoy God's presence, that doesn't mean that we're fulfilling our place and our purpose in the body of Christ. Not completely. Sure, we're made for worship. Yes, we're made to adore and worship and glorify and magnify God through our life and all of those different things. But again, that's just part of it. The other part is to find your place, to discover your purpose and perform that to the best of your ability. I told our church at the beginning of this year, that was my prayer from a pastor's heart. Please just find your place in the body of Christ. Find your purpose. Find your function. And then go after it and perform it to the best of your ability. If you can do that, you're going to make not just God's heart glad, you're going to make your pastor's heart glad. You're going to find that the body of Christ is more enjoyable, that it works better when all the body is working together, when all the pieces are functioning as they should. So let's take a look at a few Bible characters who lived or walked in their God-given purpose. And I'm not going to bring to you anybody today that you're not already aware of. These are Bible characters. These are people who we preach about and we teach about, and Sunday school classes, lessons are written about them, and messages are taught from them, and all of that stuff. So it's not anything that we don't know, but just a good reminder that, you know what, we can learn from these people. We can highlight their life. We can learn some lessons and realize that whether they were good or bad, and they all had good days, bad days, nobody was perfect. As imperfect as they were, still they had a place, they had a purpose. And yours might not be, should I say, as glorious as theirs. Yours might not be recorded in the annals of God's word later on. But you know what? Yours is just as important. as theirs is. So let's look to Moses first of all. Moses, man, the guy that was in the there at the beginning, right? The guy who led him out, the guy who received the law, all of that stuff. Man, Moses, of course, he knew his place. But let's go back. This was a Hebrew baby that was not born in the best of times. He was born in a moment when all the other babies were, right? Not the greatest time to be born. But he was saved by the hand of God for a purpose. Now we know Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. He was raised in the court of Pharaoh. And the historian Josephus says that Moses was handsome, well-educated, and a mighty warrior and leader in the Egyptian army as a young man. Not a lot of history. It's kind of sketchy, but the best you can find, it seems that there was a stint there where as he was being raised and he was kind of coming into his own, he made a mark in that moment, in that time there in Egypt. And that's why Acts 7:22, I believe that Stephen would refer to and say, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds, not just for God, but even before he stepped into that purpose, he was learning. But his purpose was not to function as an Egyptian prince or an Egyptian ruler or an Egyptian warrior, but just the opposite, right? His purpose was to lead Israel out of the oppression and the slavery of Egypt. Hey, Moses, your job's not to sit on the throne and say, "Woo, look at me. Look what I did. Look who I am." But your job is actually to lead the people out of this place. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, starting, I'll read first from the New King James, says, "By faith Moses," a familiar scripture, "when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." I'm going to read also from the New Living. It says, "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward." He had a day, he had a moment in time where he came to a crossroads and he had to say, "I choose this. I choose not what seems to be my purpose right now, but I'm going to choose God's purpose for me. I'm going to choose God's will, God's design." Again, Moses' purpose, his function in the body of Christ, was to learn from Egypt so that he might in turn be able to lead the people out of Egypt. You see, learn from it. Yeah, I believe that he was there as a young man growing up. He learned. He was learned in the way of the Egyptians, the Bible says, so that he could turn around and he could take that knowledge, that understanding that he had, and use it on behalf of the people of God. Again, God's purpose for Moses was to be Israel's leader, lawgiver, and prophet. I think it was, at least he's the one who gets the credit sometimes, but D.L. Moody, who said it was Moses that spent 40 years thinking he was a somebody, talking about his time in Egypt. Then he spent 40 years learning he was a nobody. That was his time as a shepherd in the wilderness. And then he spent his last 40 years discovering what God can do with the nobody. It took him a while, but guess what? Moses discovered his God-given purpose. So I want to encourage you with this first example this morning. Don't be discouraged along the way. Do not be discouraged. Get all you can. I don't know if anybody's ever heard this, but get all you can and can all you get. In other words, store it up. You're on a journey, and so when you're learning, don't discard it. What if Moses would have said, "This is so dumb. Why do I need to know this? Why am I learning this?" Not everything was essential, but I believe that he learned some things that He got it, he canned it, and he was able to use it later. So again, don't be discouraged. It's all going to be useful later. It was for Moses and it will be for you. Let's talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. A young lady who came from humble beginnings and she never left them. She was the wife of a carpenter and she was the widow of a carpenter. I don't think that Moses or Mary ever, you know, became a multimillionaire. She never was the CEO of a corporation. The same humble beginning she started in was the same humble beginnings that she lived in all of her life. She was just associated with the carpenter, the wife of a carpenter, the widow of a carpenter. Sure, she gave birth to the King of Kings, but it didn't change the circumstances of her life. And so something we can learn from Mary is the simple lesson. Finding our purpose may not make us any different in natural terms, right? Well, but if I could just find my purpose, if I could just find my place in God, everything will change. Doesn't mean that just because you found your place in the body of Christ that suddenly you're going to become liked, better liked, or that you're going to become rich or whatever. There's no fulfillment though like finding your God-given purpose and carrying it out. So your circumstance, like Mary, may not change. She was who she was in the beginning to the end. But boy, there was no fulfillment like knowing the fact that she was the mother of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Something else we can learn from Mary is that our purpose, God's design for our life, it's sometimes easy and it's sometimes hard. Just ask Mary. Man, it's easy to accept it, but sometimes it's harder to live it out. She's there that day. Angel shows up. Angelic visitation. Come on. Anybody ever been blessed with angelic visitation? Most of you are going to say, no. Sure haven't. Neither have I. Not to say that an angel came into my room and started speaking prophetic things to me. Whoo, man. Emily, what a great moment, right? How easy to accept that. Oh, yes. Come on, bless me some more, Lord. Bless me some more, Lord. Yeah, yeah, come on. Keep on giving it, Jesus. But to live it out? Maybe it was easier to say, so be it, Lord, in that moment as she did, than it was to live it out. Sometimes God's purpose is easy to understand. Sometimes it's hard to understand and even confusing. You want me to carry the Messiah? Oh, easy enough. I know not a man, but you're going to work it out. But then the divorce talk came and the fact that she could have even been stoned and the gossip made its way back to her and the names that she heard herself being called. And just ask Mary about God's purpose being easy one day and hard the next. Easy one day and being confusing the next. Because I have no doubt that it was. But again, when we find our spot and we begin to fulfill our purpose, no matter how hard it is, no matter how easy it is, no matter how confusing it might be at times, there is no other fulfillment like that. Even when it's hard, even when it's confusing. So I encourage you again, find your place in the body of Christ. It's going to have good days. It's going to have bad days. It's going to have days where you're going to just want to throw in the towel, right? I'm just done with this. I'm not even underappreciated. I'm just not even appreciated at all. I'm not even seen. Nobody even knows what I'm doing. But if you can realize, man, it might be confusing. It might be hard. But when I let God remind me of how he has placed me in his perfect spot. It's not about finding your perfect spot. It's about finding God's perfect spot. Again, what did verse 27 say, right? He's placed you specifically. He's placed you exactly where He wants you to be. Have you found that spot yet? It's so important. You say, well, I got to be at a certain level in Christ. I got to be at a certain amount of knowledge. I got to this. And no. Just seek after God. When I got to find my place in you, I've got to find my place in this church so that we can be effective as a body. Kind of getting out of my notes here, but if we don't, man, does it make the body more effective or less effective? I want my church to be the most effective, the most impactful, the best church, the greatest church, the most anointed church in town. I'm not saying that God can't do it without you, because we know that He can. But His design, His purpose, His placement, it's all very specific. He says, I work through my people. So if that's the case, then to really be impactful, to really be what God wants us to be, not just as individuals, but as a church, we have got to find that place. And I think sometimes that's where we've got to allow God to broaden it, that horizon, or maybe a perspective, and realize that, you know what, it's not just about me. And I realize today this lesson is about you finding your spot, but it's greater than that. For the body to be effective, for the body of Christ here in Kingsport, Tennessee, to be what God wants you to be for this city and for this locale, for this area, then you guys have got to make sure every one of you, ladies and gentlemen, young and old, everybody in between, find your place. Do it to the best of your ability. What's that to Solomon? Sometimes our purpose in God's kingdom is easy to find. I mean, what's easier than being born into it, right? Well, there was Solomon. I realized leading up to the day of his coronation, crowning, all of that, there was a little few speed bumps along the way, but I believe that even as this young man who they say was more than likely about 20 years old when he was crowned king of Israel, just as on that day of coronation where the crown was placed upon his head, he felt the weight of that jeweled crown as it was placed upon his head. And then he no doubt at the same time felt the weight of responsibility settled on his shoulders. 20 years old. Now the king of Israel. Your daddy was the best king that that nation had ever seen or would see. He had taken it to one of its greatest. He had expanded it larger than it had ever been expanded. Now all you got to do is build on it, so to speak. What an incredible responsibility. The crown was seen, the responsibility was unseen, but for Solomon, both of them was felt. He felt the crown on his head, and he felt that mantle of responsibility settle upon his shoulders. And that's why when God came to him with a blank check a little later, comes to him in a vision and says, Solomon, I'm pleased with you. What would you have? What would you desire from me, rather than just treating him as a genie in the bottle and asking for riches and peace and so on and so on. He looks to God and he says, I need wisdom. I need knowledge to rule the people. I'm as a child, the scripture says. I don't know what I'm doing, God. And his request pleased God so much that he gave him everything else that he didn't ask for. Read it in 1 Kings 3, 1 through 14. He said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for peace, because you didn't ask for long life, if you'll serve God, Solomon, I will grant you more riches than you can count. I will grant you a long life, longer than you'd ever expect to live. I will give you peace on every side if you'll live for me. Wow. But understand something about God's given purpose. It's not just to benefit us alone. But our God-given purpose should benefit others as well. Solomon was blessed, yes. He was blessed with many material things and great riches. You go through those books and begin to read about the riches and the blessings of Solomon. It's just kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? To think in that ancient of time how he could be blessed and see so much and do so much and be involved in so much. But the purpose was so that he could bless the nation as well. It wasn't meant to be everything to be heaped upon one man only. And I believe Solomon did an excellent job in making the whole nation rich and blessed. 1 Kings 10:21, the New Living says, all of King Solomon's drinking cups were solid gold, as well as were the utensils in the palace of the forest of Lebanon. They were not made of silver, for silver was considered worthless in Solomon's day. 2 Chronicles 1:15, the New Living says, the king made silver and gold as plentiful as in Jerusalem as stone. And valuable cedar timber was as common as the sycamore fig tree that grows in the foothills of Judah. He said, hey, you know what? Let's just not keep the blessing to me and my palace only, but let's just make sure the whole nation's blessed. Let's make sure everybody is receiving something. Again, whether you're born into your purpose or maybe it just comes with a little bit of seeking and searching it out, remember, however you are blessed by God, whether to create or make things or to repair or build things, to serve or to lead, in the end, you are blessed to bless others. Your purpose should not just benefit yourself, but it should benefit others as well. Let me see, how many more examples do I have? Two more. Let's look to Esther. A young lady who probably wasn't too certain about her purpose at first. I mean, if you would have asked her before the king showed up and knocked on her door, Esther, what are you going to do with your life? Oh, I'll probably just be a good young Jewish girl and eventually I'll find the right guy and we'll get married and we'll have a bunch of kids and we'll just have a good little life. But then there came a day when she was summoned to the king's palace and she was immersed not just in perfumes and soap suds and face creams, but a whole new life, a whole new culture. She was just dropped right in the middle of it. And no doubt, maybe we forget this sometimes, but she was in that beauty salon for 12 months. Basically, that's what it was, 12 months. They said, well, we're going to just take you and just make you and mold you and beautify you. And you're just going to be beautiful. So when your time comes and the king gets to your name, Esther, okay, let's see Esther today. You're going to be as beautiful as you can be. But no doubt, she wondered in those 12 months of beauty care, What's my purpose again? I thought my purpose was just to be a good Jewish girl and have a family. But then she went to see the king and he falls in love with her. And she is crowned the new queen. And finally, this is it. Boy, it took a little bit to get here, but now here I am. I'm helping. I'm the queen. I'm sitting beside the king. I found my purpose. Wonderful. This is great. But was it really? Was that really her purpose? I think her purpose was truly realized the day that her nation was threatened with extinction. And she was made to stand up and become their intermediary. That's when, was it 12 months of beauty care, becoming ravishing and delightful and a knockout, gorgeous young lady? It wasn't to wear a crown and carry the title of queen, but her purpose, all of those were steps leading to her purpose. Her purpose is reminded to her by her uncle Mordecai when he tells her, do you not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is your purpose. This is not to look pretty. Your purpose is not to wear a crown. Your purpose is to save. Sometimes God's exact purpose may be slow in distinguishing itself. Clarity may only come with time, but that's okay. Like Esther, I encourage you today, from again, the young, the old, everybody in between, like Esther, follow in faith. Step through every open door, and God will lead you to the exact place that you are meant to be. And then finally, my last example this morning is Paul. In Philippians 4, 3 through 6, he says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 years old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. And then he says also in 22 of Acts 3 through 5, then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. And I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. And I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. And I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so. For I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. His purpose, he's describing it, right? Man, I was zealous. I was persecuting the church. I persecuted, I hounded, I arrested, I threw in prison. What a purpose. If anybody had his purpose, certainly Saul the persecutor had his purpose. Nobody could persecute, nobody could hound, nobody could destroy the heretics like Saul could. And to top it all off, it was a purpose that honored God. Well, where's the fault in any of that? He had found his purpose. He had found his place. But unfortunately, nobody could have been more misguided than Saul himself. You see, what Saul did not understand was that God did not desire for him to tear down and destroy and imprison the church. Instead, God's purpose for Saul's life was to build up, encourage, and establish the church. He thought it was put him in prison, tear him up, shut him down, kill all, they're crazy. God said, oh, no. You're misguided, son. Your purpose is to build them up. Your purpose in my body is to encourage them. He says, but the Lord said, in Acts 9, 15 and 16, go to Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Hey, Saul, soon to become Paul, you're a chosen vessel. Your purpose is to bear my name, the name of Jesus, to both the kings, the high, and the people, low. In fact, your purpose is to suffer, not make others suffer, but your purpose is to suffer for me. One thing we can learn from Paul is to make sure that our purpose in God's church is really God's purpose for us and not something of our own making. Because sometimes we We can be a little misguided if we're not careful. We can follow what we'd rather do or our flesh rather than God's true calling or God's true purpose. Because if it's not God's true calling, if it's not God's true purpose, not even a dump truck load of sincerity is going to make it right. And there was nobody more sincere than Saul. Buddy, Emily, when he threw him in jail, he was sincere. When he busted down a door, he was sincere. But sincerity doesn't make it right. We could go on with individuals like Deborah, Joshua, Priscilla, John the Baptist, on and on and on. From Genesis to Revelation, right? From the beginning to the end. Man, we could look at them and we could dive in and we could see their process of finding the will of God, the purpose of God in their life, and learn so much. And of course, we don't have time to explore all of that today, but if anybody's a reader, and I have a few books that, as I was putting this lesson together this past week, I was looking at my library, and if you're familiar at all, John MacArthur wrote two books, 12 Unlikely Heroes, 12 Extraordinary Women. Those are two great character studies, basically. Henry Blackaby wrote a series called the Biblical Legacy Series. And there are five books on Abraham, Joshua, Samuel, Mary, and Paul. Again, it's just basically, it's about people finding their purpose. It's about people discovering what God wanted from them. Not all of them were in front, out front, highlighted, spotlighted. Some of them were people in the background. Not every disciple was a Peter, right? But they were all disciples. They all had a place. You may not be a Peter, but you still have a place in the kingdom of God. You've still got a purpose. You're not a non-functioning. God did not design it that he would have non-functioning members in the body of Christ. But everybody has a function. Everybody has a purpose. So I encourage you this Sunday morning. Number one, I referenced it already. Ask God to lead you. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul speaks of a mystery, right? But the mystery he is speaking of is not discovering your God-given purpose. Discovering your God-given purpose, your reason for being in the body of Christ, your purpose for being there should not be a mystery to any of us. It should be something that we all find and find easy enough. It may take a little time, but doesn't necessarily have to be a hard, arduous task. So ask God to lead you. If you're sincere, God will lead you. If you're sincere, God will make sure that you know your place. And again, when you find that, man, do it with all of your heart. All of your heart. And I know Pastor Damesworth was so kind when he sent us, all the guys, your lessons for these pathways. He sent us all the following lessons after our initial ones this morning. And your lessons in this class are meant to help you to discover that purpose. You're going to be talking and looking at things like understanding the purpose and the different types of spiritual gifts in the church, identifying those gifts through self-assessment and feedback, embracing your passions and your callings, the connection between spiritual gifts and practical skills, overcoming insecurity and fear about using your gifts. Guess what? God wants you to find your gifting. God wants you to find your purpose. Pastor Damesworth wants you to find your purpose, wants you to find your God's gifting. And the rest of the church wants you to find it. So if you sit here today and you're brand new, well, guess what? God's got a place for you. And if you sit here today and you've been in church for 30 years and you're like, oh, I'm not sure I've ever found that place yet. Well, guess what? God's still got it open. He's still waiting on you to find it. And I don't say that at all to belittle or make light or anything of that nature. But again, just to encourage you. Find your place in the body of Christ. All right, look at that. 4 minutes to spare, as I think they said, at least according to my clock. So before we close this out, I think on those notes, Pastor Damesworth said we could open it up. If anybody had a comment or you might have a question, I don't know if I had an answer, but you're always free to ask, you know. So, but with the 2 or 3 minutes we have left, because I know we need to wrap this up right at 9:45, all hearts clear, or all right then. By your silence, I take it that everybody has found your place. You're going to go out of here and bust the doors down and set Kingsport on fire. Yes, sir.
Can I get the list of the books again, please?
Yes. John MacArthur, 12 Extraordinary Women, 12 Unlikely Heroes, and then Henry Blackaby's Biblical Legacy Series. And there's 5 books in that. I believe one, Moses, Paul, Mary, Joshua. I can't remember, but Blackaby's B-L-A-C-K-A-B-Y. And I think he did some of those with, what was it? One more time. John MacArthur, 12 Unlikely Heroes and 12 Extraordinary Women. Henry Blackaby, and I think he co-wrote a couple of those with his son, but Henry Blackaby's Biblical Legacy Series. All right. Well, thank you all so much. I've enjoyed being with you this morning in this class. And as far as I'm concerned, Emily, we're good? Awesome. Thank you so much. Same time next week. Be here. Emily will be teaching.